this gathering and linked to this gathering some points that are in my heart and in my mind at this moment in time with regards to tazkiyah and tafsiyah, purification, cleanliness, I will inshallah discuss and present. And alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, with Allah Ta'ala's blessings and His grace and mercy, that we are all present here at this moment in time. And we are here for an objective and for trying to understand our manzil, our destination. And this jama'at that at this moment in time, which is present in front of me in the masjid, and most definitely other people who are listening to this majlis, the women, the men folk, the women folk, and they know that this is the gathering of dhikr, and for this reason they listen and attend and join in by listening through, or by sitting here physically, or by listening. Then the request is that the person who has a link with dhikr, or love with dhikr, or connection with dhikr, or is doing dhikr, then there's a message for that person ongoing, that the people who are busy, occupied, and worried about making the hereafter better. Because Allah Ta'ala has given this action, this worship action of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has given hukm that do dhikr, but Allah Ta'ala doesn't force, because Allah Ta'ala has kept all the other actions as compulsory. So here, those people who adhere to dhikr, who are passionate about dhikr, most definitely Allah Ta'ala has instilled into their hearts that the objective of doing dhikr is to improve your akhirah. So in this regard, I'd like to discuss a few points with you, that to look after our akhirah and to depart this world, pass away whilst one is reciting the kalima shahada, this is the greatest success. And at the time of death, a person realizes that the struggle and the effort I made in life, what do I attain for it now? And this is the time Allah Ta'ala portions during the life. If today we make effort, we utilize time positively, then inshallah tomorrow, at the time of death, we will reap the benefit of our efforts. And he who doesn't prepare will not have the benefit. So for this reason, this path which we call tazkiyah, it is a way, a path, a means to reach Allah. And there are usul, there are principles, and there are ways and methods. It's obvious that if we, you, us, do not have principles and rules in life, or anything, any action, anything a person's doing, then he cannot really succeed or progress. It's obvious, isn't it? For example, we go on a journey, and for the journey, the most important thing is we know where we want to go, but we need the directions of where we are going. So there are signboards on the way. And then a person, for example, is going on the M6, south to London. So a person keeps an eye on the signs. A person like me who's a newcomer, obviously those who are used to it, they are okay, but I would look for the sign. When do I need to turn off? When is the end of the motorway coming? Sometimes, for example, if there's a storm and the signs drop or you can't read them, and the people get lost. The one going from Glasgow goes to Birmingham, the London one goes to Leicester, he wanted to go to Birmingham, and people get lost. So the signs, they guide. So in this journey to Allah, we need to do the same. If we don't take hold of the guidance through the signage, how will we get to Allah in the right way? And if we don't drive our vehicle and in the right direction, then what will happen? Sometimes we'll come off, we'll turn off the tracks, we'll come off the come down, we're coming, we're going, sometimes we're praying, sometimes not, sometimes lawful, sometimes unlawful, sometimes I'm keeping the beard, sometimes I'm cutting the beard. So this will become a game. It will become a game, and there's no control. There's no direction. So there are some asool, there are some principles. So obvious that the tasawwuf is not a new thing, is it? Tazkiyah, this is Quran. This is Allah Ta'ala's kalam and the ahadith upon which people have made effort and they have followed the path. It's not a new kitab, a new subject, a new practice, tasawwuf, purification. It's from day one. Quran and Hadith, they give us the guidance to do tazkiyah. The Quran guides us that who can be the guide. Definitely the principal points, the rules, the criterion, if we take hold of them, then Allah will give us success in this world and the next and the hereafter. So the first point that we need to realize or understand is that Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَن يُنِيبُ. I'm not saying this, the pious predecessors say this, I'm not doing tafsir or commentary, the ulama akram, the respected scholars are here, I'm not doing commentary of the Quran, these are words and things we've heard from the respected pious elders and scholars. When we used to hear from the friends of Allah, those points are in my mind and I'm presenting to you, I have a hukam that even if I don't do it myself, but I have to implement the order, because my hazrat, my teacher said that, discuss and share the points of the deen so that people can benefit. So the first principle of this path, what is the first principle? وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ. This is not tafsir commentary, this is a point of note. Yeah, obviously it's commentary in the meaning of the verses of the Quran, and the pious elders have written the tafsir. Our objective, if we cannot follow the path of Islam, وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ means, with the translation or commentary you could say, is that nasiha, why don't we accept the nasiha, the guidance that we have been given? The Quran asks us or tells us. So we realize the big point in deen is nasiha, advice. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Allah Ta'ala is saying this, وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ. What does this mean, nasiha? Allah's nasiha. It's obvious. What is Allah's nasiha? Quran. And what is the further detail? The ahkamat, the orders, go further in detail. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah, his sunnah practices, his sharia, his way of life. This is all nasiha, advice, direction. Allah Ta'ala says, what kind of people are these? They have iman, they have belief. So why are they still like apes and monkeys? Why don't they understand? وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ. The insan that Allah Ta'ala has given nasiha, direction, orders. Why does the human being not implement? Because the sharia and the sunnah and the hadith and Allah's orders and the Quran, if a person doesn't take hold of these physically, then impossible that that person can reach to his destination, ultimate destination. Has it ever happened that Allah Ta'ala's law, we leave his principles, oh, I'm pious, I am very lofty, I've got strong iman. There are people like this nowadays, but this is shaitan. This is shaitani statement. Nobody can reach close to piety in Allah if the Quran and Sharia and Hadith is not physically been implemented in his or her life. But what do we want? We want to leave this deen, the pure deen. We're prepared to do everything else, and we want Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and we want paradise and salvation. This is impossible. These are two poles apart. Allah Ta'ala says this is not possible without the right formula. So what's the reason? Why don't we practice correctly towards the framework Allah Ta'ala has asked us to? Allah says there's something lacking. We can do it, but we don't. So let's think. If I know Allah's ahkams, and let's hear this closely, not by part, not 10%, 20%, mukammil, kamil, totally, fi salmi kafata. Allah Ta'ala says, oh, believe, people of belief, don't just do this, take one, take second, do halal, leave this, or do this unlawful and take, leave the lawful, etc. No, Allah Ta'ala says, I've given some principles, rules, a circle, a boundary. Allah Ta'ala says, despite knowing your attractions and other issues, but no one can make excuses. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala will explain everything. So it's lazim. It is compulsory for every Muslim man and woman, if he or she desires success in the hereafter, then in every second we need to do amal on Allah Ta'ala's ahkams. Allah says this is haram, we have to leave the haram. Anufal. If Allah Ta'ala gives a hukam, an order for anything, there is nothing that we can say that is forcing me not to do what Allah Ta'ala is ordering. And the person who opposes, Allah Ta'ala says that, why don't you do it? وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ. Why don't you listen? For example, we have the desire, we want to get close to Allah. We want to be pious. So what's the first thing we need to do? Is that we need to do amal on the ahkams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, illa man yunib. So the reason for this is that a person, he says that I want to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, but he still doesn't do that amal. He doesn't go towards sharia. The reason is because the person's intention is not correct. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَن يُنِيبُ. So the person, he doesn't want to turn to Allah. He doesn't want to pay attention to Allah. Okay? So let's make it easier that his niyyah is not correct. His intention is not correct. And if the intention is not correct, if it's not strong, then that's it. There's loss. He's coming. He says, oh, I'm going to reach to Allah. And then half he does, 50% he leaves, 50% he does, 50%, etc. The first point we need to understand, the first step to reach to Allah, to get close to Allah, kitab and sunnah, both should be in our life physically, and to do amal on these, on the Quran and the sunnah, then the most important thing is strong willpower and niyyah. And then you just shake your hands down, dust your hands down, say, I've decided to correct my life and make it a good life and to attain the hereafter success. And then totally 100% that person sits down and then says, وَمَن يَتَذَكَّرُ إِلَّا مَن يُنِيبُ. And Allah Ta'ala says that those none bethinks himself save those who don't turn to Allah. And then he makes that proper commitment intention that I am going to do the right from today. And if a person, for example, we're doing dhikr, we're remembering Allah at the moment, mashallah, I'm giving examples, you are pious people. I speak about myself. If I still go and run into the darkness, towards wrong and mistakes I do here and there, and I don't follow the path seriously, I take some haram, some halal, and then I do a bit of dhikr as well, what do we realize? What is Allah Ta'ala saying here? إِلَّا مَن يُنِيبُ. That this person is not proper yet. He is stuck half-half, 50%, 50%. What shall I do? Should I practice? How do I do it? He's not solid. If he's not solid, then he cannot implement the amal, that of the ahkam. And then if the person is not following the ahkam of Allah, then his life can never be good. This is the point, isn't it? You understand what I'm saying? How easy it is, the Quran is telling us. How easily the Quran is prescribing to us. So two points have come. Is it? Two signboards have come to reach the destination. Number one, solid niyyah. And when a person thinks that, alhamdulillah, I'm going to prepare for my hereafter, then what do we need to do for that? We have to accept every single hukum and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the question doesn't arise. It is impossible that at any moment in time a person can reach to Allah, or his death can be correct, or his hereafter can be correct. The question doesn't arise. So what will happen then? So first we need to have strong niyyah, strong willpower and intention. And the person will then think, if he has the right intention, what is Allah saying? Allah saying pray at this moment in time. Allah saying fast at this moment in time. Allah saying do hajj. Allah saying this is unlawful, leave it. Allah saying this is halal, take it. Allah saying wake up. Allah saying sleep at this time. So the direction comes from Allah, isn't it? And then business, Allah Ta'ala explains and teaches, sit this time, sit with your wife and your children, do this at this time, and give tarbiyah to your children, and at this time serve your parents, your mother and father, at this time go and mend the broken ties. In other words, the whole system and framework is covered by following Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, Allah's regulations and laws and principles. So any person, if you take any wali of Allah who's passed away in history, the people who became the walis of Allah, what is the meaning of friend of Allah? The person who has gone on the path of success. Their niyyah was strong. Their intention was strong. When they said that today I'm going to do tawbah, when they came to do tawbah, then there was interest and fraud and cheating on their heads. This is how Allah Ta'ala gives tawbah. Repentance. I talk about this tawbah. He said, okay, that's it. Now I realize I'm fed up with my life. I've seen people in my life. This is not the case. They've wasted time. They've come forth. That's it. I'm going to correct myself. You want to be correct? Okay, fair enough. So you have strong niyyah? Yes, I have the strong willpower. He said, okay. What is your situation? This is my business. This is business. I have this much haram. I've got this much. This belongs to this person. And the teacher says, this is unlawful. In Islam, how much interest? Okay, this much is unlawful. And Duni Haseen, first he went to the bank and he said, throw my interest money on the road. The bank, the personnel said, where should we put the interest money? He said, I don't know. I don't want to touch the interest. Sood, riba. I give the example, when a person follows the hakams of Allah, he looks at the Quran. He goes towards the Quran. The Quran has given me this order. And this is my brother's, the situation regarding thereafter. It's not a small matter. It's not here, or he goes in one ear, comes out the other, or I transfer from here to Leicester or Birmingham. Or we, by leaving this world, we will go to thereafter. And the Quran says, "Wala nabluwannakum bi shayin." Allah Ta'ala says, I sent you into this world for this reason. All the tests will come. You will be tested. And I want to see, Allah Ta'ala says, that will you come out of the test and come to me? And which situation you are, that when a person, he is drowning in the sea or the ocean and he's trying to grapple the air and come out of the drowning situation, we are like that. The person shouts and screams to his family and children, he says, "Save me, save me." So we need to save ourselves from the challenges of this world and come to the bank of that dunya to success. We say, "Allah, why is this happening? Why I've got these tests? Why I've got these problems? How will I do this?" This is the work for the akhirah. Alhamdulillah. And this is وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, "I want to see how you pass the tests. How you pass the tests." And this is deen. This is the test, the challenge. Allah, this is not a game. Pray a bit of tahajjud and say all the doors to success have opened for me. No. Every step of the day and night, yes, tahajjud will open the doors. But the other side, Allah Ta'ala said that, don't do this action, don't do this action, don't do this action. And if we are doing all the actions that Allah Ta'ala has told us to stop, so alongside worship, we are doing disobedience, then where's that tahajjud? You will get the reward, but upon obeying Allah Ta'ala's orders, Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, we have to accept them. Allah Ta'ala will say, "He accepted my orders." And what does it mean? If, for example, I get up early at Fajr time, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., Allah Ta'ala says, "I don't need you to leave your sleep. Sleep with ease. You are my servant. Eat, drink, I give you food, fruits, vegetables. Why do you worry about getting up early and you're tired, exhausted?" But Allah says, "You am and you believe in me." Allah could have said this, that you've believed in me and that's enough. And you've recognized me, okay, fair enough, that you're my servant. And 40 years I've kept for you, just eat and drink. And then when the door knocks, and the angels will come and bring food for you and eat and drink, and this is your wife, and sleep with ease. It's not impossible for Allah to give us that sort of framework of life. He could have given us the order. And Allah Ta'ala has shown this, demonstrated this with the whole qawm, with the nation. Didn't Allah Ta'ala say? So what need is it that we have to practice and worship and do business? No, Allah Ta'ala said that in your destiny, somebody had business, somebody had employment, somebody had forced labor, for example. And everyone has difficulties and challenges in life. And Allah Ta'ala says, in every field, I want to test you that how do you save yourself from haram? Now, if I want that, I want to work and I can't work. In my life, I tried to work and be an employee. And in a big post, I couldn't stay for more than 2 weeks in a certain role. Because when I used to do a job, I couldn't. But when I came towards business, and from one shop, 30 years, with ease, I ran my business. With ease. And we don't know what we are in reality. We want to do something, but we are not that. So Allah Ta'ala said that He wanted to test me in that field, in that arena. Where did Allah want to test me? In the shopping center. Stood me there in the whole shopping center. Allah Ta'ala willed that the sunnah is revived in that environment. That is what Allah Ta'ala wanted. So we can work with ease. For example, mashallah, you're working in an office and you say to your boss that I want to do this. He says, "Okay, fair enough, do that. I have no problem with that." So you work and work correctly. Who stops you here? You have freedom and you explain and say, "Fair enough, you can do this and pray your salah and you've got things, fine. You can practice, I've got no problem." The employers don't have an issue, the bosses. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will have a different test, the employee. So anyway, the point here is that, as I said to you, that I tried my best different times, go to office job or have a big role and become a professor or something, but I couldn't progress. Just 2 weeks was maximum and I couldn't progress in employment. But when I left that role and that arena into the business arena, and where I stood, that is where I left after 30 years. To 30 years. And the test I had at that time with my business and the trials and how Allah tested me with the methods. I don't know if I passed or failed, but that's the life that's gone before me. And inshallah we'll go to thereafter, we'll realize that I do right or did I do wrong or was I deceiving or I couldn't do anything according to Allah Ta'ala's ahkams. So it's not necessary. For example, one person's a teacher or an imam. Or somebody is an imam, or somebody is in a madrasa as a teacher, somebody is a hadith teacher. This is bi-idhnillah from Allah. And wala nabluwannakum, nobody is out of this. Everyone, even a person who's teaching hadith, he's in danger, let me tell you. He's tested there. Upon that test, teaching the hadith teacher in the institute, we say Shaykhul Hadith, he's forgiven. But he will be tested while he's carrying out his role and responsibility upon teaching hadith. For example, I will be tested as a businessman. What did you do in your shop? This was haram. You did this wrong action. You made this much or you left the sunnah. And a Shaykhul Hadith, a hadith teacher, whilst he's teaching hadith, will be asked, because Allah Ta'ala wants to give Jannah. Everybody will be accounted. Isn't it? It's a beautiful, unique point. So everyone, regardless of your profession, pastime, career, job, everybody will be tested and questioned about what he did and how he did. So if I say, oh, I used to teach everybody Quran, I was the teacher of Quran for the children, or Hadith, I don't need to be tested. I'm not standing in the shop or the shopping center. And we say, yeah, mashallah, the imam or the teacher's teaching children from morning to night. How can this person be questioned? But he will be questioned a lot of questioning. The questions will be asked and the answer will come, wala nabluwannakum. That's where it's been asked. And that's why the dangers are there. The fear is there. The problems are there. Do you understand the point I'm making? So this is a point of understanding. The verse, if I forget it, then you hufaz, mashallah, correct me, because I'm not a hafidh, so I can keep the subject progressing. I think I was saying, وَمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ yes. إِلَّا مَن يُنِيبُ. This was the verse, isn't it? Right. So, you understand now? So we have the two points. One is that we need to strengthen our intention, solidify our intention. When we make our niyyah correct, then it's not hard to follow the ahkams of Allah. Totally not hard. I tell you this. Just make your niyyah correct. Allah Ta'ala says your niyyah, intention is not correct. You talk nonsense. You want to leave the orders and you want to get close to me. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, fair enough. So your niyyah is correct. Your intention is correct. You believe in Allah's orders. And another point that comes now. Allah says, not just one point, but there's another point above this. What is that? Fadlullah. Allah Ta'ala says, the mukhlasina lahuddin. This is the verse, isn't it? Yeah? That Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala has made the first point to us with regards to the person who should make his intention strong. Allah says, you need another thing after this. Yes? So the person who is sincere and upright. This is what we need. So if our niyyah is correct, and we are listening to the ahkams, Allah Ta'ala says, then you can have this, but if your itiqad is not correct, then you cannot succeed. If your itiqad is not correct, you cannot succeed. So here's a third point that Allah Ta'ala is making here. So what's the basic thing here? Fad'ullah mukhlisina lahuddin walau karihal kafirun. Allah Ta'ala says, mukhlisina lahuddin. So this is the basic thing, that a person should be strong on this. So first Allah Ta'ala said that those people who turn to Allah with the right niyyah, but then Allah says, therefore, O believers, pray unto Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, then your religion will be made pure for you. Pure for you. So if we don't have that strength of conviction and trust in Allah, then we cannot succeed. So if itiqad is correct, the sincerity is correct, then we will be successful. So where does this come from? Allah Ta'ala says that this is the foundation. Remember, where does the foundation come from? Subhanallah. They'll ask our aqabireen, what can I tell you? Subhanallah. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Let's ask Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Saharanpuri rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Nanotvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Let's ask him. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi explained in the kitabs. And Hazrat Thanvi said, he wrote that we were big scholars. The whole world knew us. We had ulum and knowledge. But we didn't have the recognition or the appreciation. We thought that we have the ulum and the knowledge, and when we went to the true scholar with the true knowledge, then we considered the knowledge we had as a total loss for us. It wasn't benefiting us. Huh? The ilm disappeared from in front of us when we met our true teacher. When we reached to an insan who was a teacher, the supreme teacher, the ulum that we thought we had and that we possessed and we owned and we were the best, we didn't even realize what we had at the time. And he's writing this, I'm talking about these three, four great personalities. And Allah Ta'ala, where did Allah send these great scholars? And Allah Ta'ala sent these scholars to somebody who wasn't an alim, Hazrat Haji rahmatullahi, isn't it? This is history. And this is where we have to learn tasawwuf, learn the reality, Allah Ta'ala says. So they went to Hazrat Haji Abdullah Sahib rahmatullahi, and how many people from their tongues are saying this? Subhanallah, this is the voice of the Quran, mukhlisina lahuddin, and this is the meaning of this verse that they are implementing. Allahu Akbar. Itiqad is the most important thing, Allah Ta'ala says. And who's itiqad? Trust in who? Now let's see this point. He was not an alim, but these three, four scholars, great scholars, and many others, how did they sit with sincerity? They said that in front of this teacher of ours, our supreme teacher, our ilm is a waste. And this is the itiqad, the belief in the teacher. So where does it start? The destination from the itiqad in the sheikh. And this is what allows a student to succeed. Otherwise, those people whose name I'm explaining to you, if we look on a worldly point and basis that did they have a need? Did they need a sheikh? Did they not know how to read Quran? Did they not know how to pray salah? Did they not know how to do dhikr? Did they not know the tasbih? They did this. The uloom was present. What did they say themselves? Subhanallah, beautiful, unique point. The uloom was there. The knowledge was there. They said, we had everything. But we had aql and intellect and the knowledge and the ilm. This was our iman. And they said this themselves. The iman we had was on this point that we have the ilm and the knowledge and the intellect and the ta'leem. But when we went to our teacher, subhanallah, we went into his company in his sohbat, and he wasn't an alim, a graduate from the institute. When we sat with him and did dhikr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inserted into our hearts ilm and the noor of the knowledge we had. The light of the noor. This is written, I'll show you, that the ilm, the light of that ilm, the noor of that ilm came into our hearts, and our hearts were illuminated, and then we saw the true state of iman, and our iman reached to that point, that in our hearts we felt that in our heart Allah Ta'ala's remembrance is there. So they claim that they got to that point, subhanAllah, due to the sohbat of their teacher. What a big point, what an important point. And to this extent they said, who took us to this level that when we went to our teacher and had belief with Hazrat Haji Sahab that we don't have ilm, but our sheikh has ilm. He has the knowledge, and this is the alim, the true scholar, who doesn't rely on his knowledge. He says, not due to us, but due to our sheikh, we have itiqad and belief. And when you have the belief and the sincerity and the conviction in the sheikh, the teacher. Now here, Hazrat Arif Billah, Ghawsi Qutb, Ghawsi Waqt, Ghawsi of his time, Qutb al-Arshad, Qayyum, my sheikh, my teacher. And this is my aqeedah, and this is the aqeedah that I have with my sheikh, that I tell you the truth. And I consider this point as haqq, and have yaqeen and believe that he was this. That he was this. That this was his rank and his status. About my Shaykh Qutb al-Aktabi was, he was the Ghaus of Adam. Ghaus al-Adam, the Ghaus of his time. Shaykh al-Kabir, he was a Arif Billah. And there was no Shaykh comparable to him at that time. And I have this aqeedah told openly, I communicate with you regarding my teacher. And I present to you his statement, a statement full of nur and light based on Quran and Hadith and all the Salafus Salihin and our pious predecessors. They mention this with regards to itiqad, because we've come to learn this, the point of tasawuf, that how can we get close to Allah? What will take us close to Allah? I speak about tazkiyah and purification, that the journey we are traveling on, and to get to the maqam close to Allah, the basic tenet, the basic principle, you have to have conviction and belief with your teacher, Shaykh, just like our pious predecessors demonstrated. You don't look, where did my Shaykh graduate from, which Darul Uloom, what did he learn? And then look at the sunnah, that these same personalities, Allah Ta'ala then sent ulama ikram to them. And the true scholars who are established, then they understand that, yes, this is our teacher, just like these great personality scholars that consider their Shaykh is true, but those with enough, they stand and they announce in the gathering, oh, I have no gathering with these people, because they are afraid that people say, oh, he's not an alim and you're a scholar, you're a mufti, you're famous in India, how did you get bayah with this person? When he's talking about khilafat, he's a khalifa. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The khalifa, the student of the sheikh, and he denies that he's a student of the sheikh. Look how he will drop on the day of judgment. He will become like dust and soil. What will be his status after that? And that just now, even now we have this. But we see that what maqam, what status Allah Ta'ala took that person. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, I said, Quran and Hadith, a person is tested. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْنِ, that he failed. He's denying his teacher. No, if I tell everyone in the gathering that this person's my teacher, he's not an alim, a mufti, and he's my sheikh, and they'll say to me that, are you his khalifa? And it's not that, are you his murid? He's saying, no, I'm not his khalifa. And how can a person get khilafat nowadays? It's such a great honor that Allah Ta'ala bestows. Even to become a murid is a great thing, even to get ijaz, but to get ijaz and khilafat, amazing. And he said, no, I don't have a link. And this is how much I've heard, to what I've heard. We should give examples of real examples so we understand. But there are some scholars, mashallah, they don't rely, they're not proud of their ilm, knowledge, they are mahir. They are experts, Quran, hadith, and fiqh, and all knowledge, and Allah Ta'ala gives them the deen. But when they go to their sheikh for tasawwuf, for purification of the heart and the nafs, even though he is not an alim, but because their intention is correct, they're following Quran and hadith, all they need is itiqad, and Allah Ta'ala makes, to make their itiqad and belief strong, Allah Ta'ala takes them to a non-alim sheikh of tasawwuf, wali wala, so that their nafs is dissolved and they become like dust and soil, their pride, it disappears, and then their maqam goes baland and high. This is what we need to look at. And those people who are playing games and they want to get bayah with a sheikh, but they don't accept that in front of people because they're embarrassed, so cool, then they don't achieve anywhere, not in this world nor the hereafter. They waste their time in the world and they can't even sleep all night long. This is a very big point, important point to understand. So what's the most important thing? To have conviction and belief in your sheikh teacher. So what did my sheikh state? My teacher, he said, listen, and this was a nasiha, and he used to say this as well. He said that, now listen clearly, what a great point. For yuzat, barakat, Allah's rahmah, is always there. The person is promoted and progressed when his itiqad and belief in the shaykh increases. There are three things that are guaranteed. For yuzat, the fez, and the barakat, the blessings, and Allah Ta'ala's mercies. All of these things increase as a person's itiqad and belief and conviction in his shaykh increases. What a great point. Now, we need to understand that the biggest enemy of ours for itiqad is shaytan. Shaytan. Whether it's a man or a woman, because we have to understand this point, that shaytan, he will loot your salah. He will loot and try to take away your actions. He won't come towards your Quran or your sunnah practice or your dhikr. The first enmity that the shaitan has is with the link, the tie with the sheikh, with the teacher. Because he knows, shaitan, that the sheikh is the root of success for the student. And if I cut off this tie, then he will become an empty box and nobody will ask for him or about him, and he will run after unlawful things. So the first thing, if a person wants to be corrected, then shaitan will whisper in the ear that don't go to this teacher. He's dangerous. He makes people dance. He makes people do this, or they do wrong actions or innovation. Don't sit in this dhikr. Don't do this with this person. Totally, shaitan stops the student from going to the teacher. Because shaitan knows that this student will succeed if he is the permanent student of the sheikh. So shaitan says, I need to get this customer, this client back. And the person who passes the test of shaitan, so somebody, everyone has a different test. And how long does this continue for? Till the final moment. That if the sheikh even gives ijazah to the student, he becomes a khalifa, he has more danger. Because he has his own murids then. And this I can also show you the letter of Hazrat. Very strong, beautiful, important letter. Because he was Hazrat Arif Billah. Every step he cleaned and purified me, so that I could understand tasawwuf till far, and I could spread these words and points till far. Otherwise who will tell you these points today? Tell me. Such deep points Hazrat told me. He knew that I'm going to have the class or the session, and I'm going to speak to people. So every point Hazrat explained to me, that never did he leave any stone unturned that I could not explain in front of you upon tasawwuf, with the fadl of Allah on the subject of tasawwuf. So this is also a point that he explained to me. Subhanallah, very important point. And the person who saves himself from shaitan's games and whisper, how long does the shaitan attack? He becomes a sheikh, he has ijazah himself, he has murids and students, and then shaitan puts the whisper into the sheikh's ear that your sheikh is less than you now, you're greater than your own sheikh. I have a khanqah, I have a seat now, and I'm a peer, and I've got students, and this happens. People forget their teacher, and Allah Ta'ala gives them progress. And it's the fares from the sheikh who's coming from behind, and he thinks that he's better life. For example, I think this is my fares, or I'm doing this, or I'm achieving this, then this is a waste. I always say, whose fares is this? My sheikh, my teacher, who gave the permission, who gave the advice, and yeah, and whose link do you have? With me. So if you look there to my teacher, then you'll be free. So everyone has to look to himself. I have to look towards myself. In other words, there's no clash. The student looks to his teacher. That's where the benefit comes from. For example, I'm speaking to you, and a person then gets up. Let's go straight to the teacher then. Why are we with Hazrat? When he went straight there, then he was given the strong feedback there, and he lost out here in this company. So Allah Ta'ala has kept this tariqah, this method, that how can I tell you to this extent, that the sheikh with the teacher, a sheikh, was displeased with his murid, this student, and he was unhappy. And then he said, okay, fair enough, he went to Medina. Yes, this is high class tasawwuf, I'm telling you. Where people, and he went and he presented himself to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I've come. And you know, like people go, they present themselves, then from there was the hint given to him, that hey, if you want to get something, then first go and please your sheikh. That's his itiqad, belief and trust in the sheikh. So this is the test on this path. To the last second of the life, until Qiyamah, we have to get the benefit from our teacher and not look left and right and try to benefit from ourselves. And this is the principle and the rule. I heard this dua that Allah, my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib said that Allah, for me and my Jama'ah, Fazal Ali, give us all the love and allow us to stand under the flag and the standard of Hazrat Fazal Ali on the Day of Judgment. And alhamdulillah, we will be there and you will be there if your i'tiqad and trust and belief is strong. Otherwise, we'll fail here. We'll fall into the trap of shaitan. Isn't it? Look, my Hazrat said that a murid, if somebody is dhikr is weak, he could be weak in another action, his mu'amalat, extra. And Hazrat said, doesn't matter, make effort. But the person who's weak in the belief of his shaykh will never be successful. Will never be successful. If the conviction and certainty and trust in the shaykh is not strong. This is what the Quran tells us. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala clearly explains here. And further Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanallah. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So very clear point here. Allah Ta'ala says that when you gather and come together on this point, therefore, O believers, pray unto Allah, making religion pure for Him only, only for Allah. You should directly trust in Allah Himself. However much other people are away from the path, but you have to be on the straight and narrow path yourself and steadfast. And the Quran explains, is this not the tasawwuf? Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Doesn't matter how much people say to you. Yeah? The people who reject, doesn't have to be a disbeliever, it could be anybody. The people who divert you away from the true path, they laugh at you, they joke against you and jest. But you stay and stick and adhere to your path, then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala shows His shan, His glory and His power. What does Allah Ta'ala say then? Allahu Akbar. رَفِيَ الدَّرَجَاتِ ذُو الْعَرْشِ. Allah Ta'ala says, who am I? That I am doing everything here to call you to myself. And who am I? Allah Ta'ala says, I show you my power and my glory. رَفِعُ الدَّرَجَاتِ ذُو الْعَرْشِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I am the Malik of the Arsh, the Exalter of the ranks and the Lord of the throne. Can you understand who am I? Allah Ta'ala says, my power and glory is so great. Whoever comes to me, close to me, I can give to that person whatever I desire. ذُو الْعَرْشِ يُلْقِي الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll give you everything. Allah says, I cast the spirit of my command upon whom I will, to any of my slaves. And when we say, how did this person get this maqam? How did he get this status and rank? Because Allah Ta'ala says, he followed my advice, my direction, my guidance. He had conviction with his shaykh. He believed in his shaykh. He corrected his niyyah. And he put his life onto the path of the Quran and the sunnah. When he adhered to these three things, then he came close to me. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah says, who am I? Rafi'ud darajat. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, Rafi'ud darajati dhul arshi yulqir ruha min amrihi. Allah says that I am explaining my glory and my status and power. Allah says I can give to who I want. Whoever comes close to me, I open his heart and I can give him whatever I want. All the secrets within a night, I can put that seed into that person's heart. And this is the meaning. Allah says I can instill the secrets into that person's heart. What secrets? Allah's ma'rifah, Allah's nearness, Allah's love. And when the person starts to read Quran, beautiful explanation of the Quran comes. When they speak about the hadith, beautiful meaning of the hadith comes from that person. Because Allah Ta'ala said, I've opened their hearts. Such secrets come out of their hearts based on the Quran and the hadith that even the scholars have probably not heard these things. The ulama ikram. My brothers, see, these were a few points that came to my mind due to the sadqah of this gathering. This is the tasawwuf, and mashallah, you are on this path and I'm on this path. So let's take these points and solidify them, make them robust. A person who doesn't follow the principles, a person who doesn't look at the signs, he can never be successful in the journey. So these are the points. Listen to these clearly. You've heard and I've heard clearly. So in this way, with this tariqah, if we reach to Allah, then Allah Ta'ala has given a great promise. I will give to you in such a way. Allah says, I can give to whoever I will, however and whatever and whenever I want to. If I give this person my nearness, and why we ask questions, why is he a kutub? Why is he abdal? Why is he a khalifa? Why is he the teacher? Allah says, I open the hearts of the people and I put the value and the meaning of the Quran and the hadith, and that person speaks that always then. And is there anything bigger than this, my friends? Alhamdulillah. To read such a Quran, to listen to such a Quran, alhamdulillah, we should enjoy it, isn't it? So that's it. So the life is for struggle. It's a test. My brothers, let's understand the meaning of life. Life has passed. There are some days left. Let's make effort. Make our business halal, our life halal. Make effort and give our children good tarbiyah. Eat good food. Live nicely. Do good business. Halal business. Have cars. Have a nice house. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to you, do. And if Allah Ta'ala doesn't give, then no problem. Stay the same. But don't let haram come. If Allah has called something haram, then 1% should come in our life. If Allah Ta'ala gives whatever He gives, high, low status, if Allah gives kingdom or rank or status or maal or wealth, fine. But within the orders of Allah, within the control boundary that Allah Ta'ala has defined. Allah says nothing wrong with maal. Wealth is good. Give sadaqah, distribute it, spend it, give here, zakat, charity, and give to Darul Uloom and to good places and ulama kiram. Great thing. If halal is coming from that same shop, I've seen this myself. And that shop used to get £10. After 10, then 10,000, 15,000, 25,000, and still eating that same, mashallah, taking the same profit. So Allah Ta'ala says that if Allah wants to reduce or increase the profit or the risk or the wealth, it's Allah's choice. And if the car comes, then you buy a car, buy a house, enjoy yourself, go on holiday, Hajj, Umrah, Allah's given money. Allah Ta'ala says that I will make Jannah, your life in this world Jannah, if you follow my hakams and my rules. I'll make your wife obedient, your children will be happy, I'll give you food to eat, I'll give you ease and comfort with halal. Not that you have to be poor. Within Naqshbandi silsila, we say eat good and do a lot of dhikr. Eat, today you've had one chicken, then do dhikr until the night, isn't it? Not, oh, sit down and don't eat anything and keep the fast. No. Allah Ta'ala says, no, there's no such thing. Eat and drink and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and come close to Allah. Wear good libas Allah has given and have good clothes and kameez and dhoti and good jackets and whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, wealth, and may have a nice watch, nice car, nice clothes, attire Allah has given. Not that you wear torn clothes. Allah Ta'ala says, no, I like clean and fresh and tidy. Yes, one thing, don't show to people that you've got the wealth. Don't show off. When a person gets to this level, when he wears things or has things, and if he's close to Allah, he's not on the maqam that he's showing to people. He is doing shukr of the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has given to him. That today I want to wear this watch, or I want to wear this blanket, or I want to wear this dhoti. If Allah Ta'ala has given to that person, then he wears and he is proud what he's got and he's happy. And it's not to show people or to show off to others or to have pride. And let's listen to this carefully, this point. That all of these things that count is based on the status of the heart. And Allah Ta'ala knows the status of the heart. If people say, oh, he's showing. Don't worry. If someone's saying you're a show off, never listen to what that person's saying. For example, you stood here and you start doing tasbih. And someone says, oh, he's doing riya. It's pride. Don't worry about that. As a Tanwi Rahmatullah said a beautiful point, that you are not showing off. For example, it will go into your mouth. Or riya, pride is such a thing that it comes into you and Allah knows that you don't have pride. If your niyah is not riya or showing off, then how can it be riya? Yes, if you're doing tasbih and you haven't got the intention of showing off to people that you're dhakir, then how can you say you got riya? That's it. So this is nonsense. Shaitan is trying to deviate you. Do tasbih openly. People say, let them carry on saying, they say, I'm not proud. I don't know what is riya or showing. So in the same way, wear nice clothes and say, Allah, I'm not showing off. I'm just doing it to make myself happy. Allah has given me ni'mah and rewards. Why should I show that I have got poverty if I'm not? But if I am, I don't have any money. I am, it's tight situation. Then fair enough. I'll have to persevere that time. So Allah Ta'ala says, I am the one who gives. Allah gives the hal. Easy, hard, difficult, whatever. Allah says, I am the one who gives and I should do shukr to whatever Allah Ta'ala gives to me. Allah has given this. So if Allah has given you this and Allah has given me this, then everyone's different. I should still be happy. If Allah has given me wealth, alhamdulillah. If I don't have wealth, alhamdulillah. Anyway, my friends, everything, this is the message of Allah, that become mine, Allah says, come close to me. Whatever I've told you, instructed you, guided you, do this. And this is tasawwuf, and tasawwuf is nothing else. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq to do amal on this. Ameen.